Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Pensacola, huge hit from Sally. We're still recovering from that. Are you comfortable with the pace and the funding to make sure that we stay what we've always been and have the opportunity to grow?
I'm the most impatient person you meet, so probably I always think, why can't we do that yesterday, right? On services, we've worked hard through the NDAA to make sure our 21 military bases and the 3 unified commands have the resources they need in Florida. We're gonna pass a reconciliation bill, which will be a big plus up for our military. We're gonna pass, I think this year, total military spend will be over $1 trillion. So we're gonna continue work right.
This was yesterday at the hurricane preparedness event. As we're getting ready to enter hurricane season, where Senator Rick Scott came to town, and you know, all of our local elected and appointed and hired leaders were there to talk about emergency preparedness. Lots of good information in the event. When we got the opportunity to talk with Senator Scott afterwards, I was asking about, you know, NAS Pensacola damage from Sally, which, as he says, well, you know, we're working on it. I mean, just in case you had not heard, Sally damaged NAS Pensacola to the tune of $500 million. $400 to $500 million. I mean, talk about the rebuild costs, you know, because you have all this aging. I mean, if you go out to NAS Pensacola and you look around, you can still see enormous damage left for buildings or just, you know, because of it. So, I, you know, that's because we're here for talking about hurricanes. That's something I wanted to ask him about. Also, you know, as I've been mentioning quite a bit, we've been talking about China, thinking about China. And, you know, to his credit, he has been thinking and talking about China and the danger from China for years.
Been sounding the alarm on China for years, long before even when you were senator. We're now in a situation where we've got military leaders coming to Eglin and talking about the imminence of war with China, that we need to be thinking about sending troops to fight. Where are you on this? Do you think we're doing enough to be prepared? What should the American be thinking about this? I mean, very real prospect.
I think the only way we don't go to war with China is if the American public stops buying their stuff. If we continue to buy Chinese products and products and services and download their apps, then they're going to continue to build an economy that they can go continue to build a military bigger than ours. So we got to stop. We just have to say, I'm not going to buy. Let's buy American products, right? Don't put a Chinese app on your phone. I mean, they're surveilling you. I mean, they've decided to be our enemy. They want to destroy the American way of life. And so we've got to have to wake up and stop buying their crap. That's the biggest thing we need to do.
And not metaphorically, as in stop believing their nonsense, but like literally stop buying their crap.
I think the only way we don't go to war with China is if the American public stops buying their stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, you know, and he's been saying this for years, so it's not new, but it's, you know, a reinforcement of that same basic problem. You know, we're basically paying our enemies to fund their war machine against Taiwan and us. Like, that's what we're doing when we buy Chinese things.
No one thinks America is going to be invading China. We are not a country that's going out and trying to take over land from other countries. That's not what we do. We're not trying to destroy somebody else's way of life. We're not trying to take away other people's freedom. China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, that's what they want to do. They want to take away our freedoms. So they're surveilling us to hurt us.
They are surveilling us to hurt us. When you wonder, well, why is China doing all these things? You know, why are they gathering and collecting information? Why are they using apps in order to gather information? Why are they so reluctant to diversify or, you know, to divest from TikTok? Not because they're just curious people. That's not the reason why. Oh, man, it was a good event yesterday. You know, a lot of discussion about hurricane preparedness. Also, very interesting couple of notes about the ongoing Hope Florida Foundation scandal. I don't have time to get into that right now because we've got transgressors coming up, but I will talk about that. It was interesting to hear the governor talk about Alex Andrade, who was standing right next to him. Other people were not here yesterday, just so you know. Nobody else, like the state leaders, weren't there. It was kind of an interesting moment. We'll talk about that a little bit later. 614 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Parade is tonight. The roads will be closed at 4. The perimeter will be closed. You cannot get through east and west on Main Street. Also, they will tow your car if it's on the parade route proper. So please don't do that. You don't want to be the first person that gets their car towed because you parked on the parade route. Things are different after the attack at Bourbon Street, right? So we take that security in a completely new way in order to keep you safe, which I personally appreciate. Coming up on the Transgressive Memorial Service, the early service. It's the early service coming up here in just a moment. We will find out why the state of Washington is being celebrated by Brother Andrew. John Pickens has got traffic on the five. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still rolling accident-free right now, but we're still dealing with the issue that happened in 9th and Bayou. That's Roy Street through Carpenter's Creek. My advice to you is take Davis or 12th Avenue and avoid that area because it is completely closed. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. Today at 9 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Spring cleaning and remodeling is in the air, and at Jonathan's Flooring, you can get your beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation with a large selection of tile, carpet, and the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors this spring. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring, North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road.
Have you given your auto loan a second thought lately? Just like you might refinance a home for a better deal, you can do the same with your auto loan. Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PennEar Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you could skip payments for the first 90 days. Take your old auto loan off of autopilot with PennEar to lower your interest and payments. Learn more at PennEar.org/auto-refi. That's PennEar.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan application submitted between April 1st and June 30th, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENN-AIR for complete details.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, Tuesday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your healthcare costs and find the right insurance products that best fit the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement. Or if you're looking for options now, they'll be taking your calls and questions. Tuesday at 10 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable. News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance this week is really more of a note regarding the ongoing and systemic violations of everything we hold dear by President Tweets a Lot, or X's a Lot, or Truths a Lot, whatever. You know which unholy and unnamed one I mean. That man, let's call him the anti-allyist, recently directed that federal funds should no longer be paid to National Public Radio or the Public Broadcasting Service. That's right, he followed through on his threat to defund NPR and PBS. And yes, a lawsuit has been filed, which will probably stop him from hurting our most cherished source of viewpoint reinforcement. But these are dangerous times, dear Otherin. Now, obviously, we all recognize that both NPR and PBS have long served as reliable partners in the effort to re-educate Americans into the righteousness of our holy wokeness crusade on gender, on sexuality, on race, on religion, on politics, on economics, on whether men should or should not be shaving their eyebrows. Yes, whether it's justice, equity, diversity, inclusion, or pretty much anything else Garrison Keillor and Elmo stand for, these broadcasters are on our side 100%. But how can we expect to effectively spread our message without a solid government subsidy? All the work we've done over all these years to infiltrate the centers of cultural influence in the federal government, education, media, and business are in jeopardy from President Rhett Head. And if we can't even safely listen to a calm voice extolling the virtues of socialism while laying down a background track of smooth Nigerian jazz, with bongos, where will we go for intellectual comfort? Will Oscar the Grouch be relocated to some homeless protection zone? Will Elmo himself have to stop teaching us that sharing is caring, or have to give up being red? Will Bert and Ernie need to find beards? One cannot foresee where this madness will all end. All we know is that it's going to be very hard for NPR and PBS to keep reinforcing our side of everything while pretending to be simply reporting neutral facts if they can't use government funding to do so. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the widespread Gen Z practice of unbossing or avoiding promotions to middle management because they prefer to avoid the responsibility, even if it means also foregoing higher pay and bonuses. Yes, apparently the workplace younglings would rather preserve their mental health, avoid stress, and make just enough money to afford hard seltzers and Steam subscriptions rather than climb the corporate ladder of greed and capitalism. Now, we must admit, at first this struck us as a good thing because it sounded vaguely like the sort of thing a good young socialist might say. But then, upon advice from the Fourth Inner Ladder and Council on Thinking Correctly About Everything explained, these young people aren't rejecting the patriarchy and the meritocracy. They're rejecting authority in every form at all. Their willingness to quit a job rather than be cajoled or coerced into doing it at a higher level is a dangerously free-willed expression of rampant individualism. And always remember to be playing a long game here. We definitely want them to reject capitalism and corporate greed, but we absolutely need them to be obedient little workers if we ever hope to fulfill our dream of the orderly society of equitable misery for the masses. Our entire project of changing words, changing values, practicing doublethink, and internalizing contradiction is really aimed at producing a compliant citizen who won't speak out or stand up for her rights unless she's told to do so by our magisterium of approved indignation. We want them to believe they are independent, but we want them to actually be completely subservient to the will of our movement. That's why the very first chant of groupthink is always the contradiction that you should stand up for what you personally believe, as long as everybody else is telling you to stand up for it. Just think of all the mild injustices and personal indignities we expect mid-level authoritarians to commit in positions of petty power, such as security guards making grandmothers go through metal detectors before they attend the county commission meeting, or homeowners associations and their endless lists of capriciously enforceable regulations. We need people who feel oppressed so we can use that sense of bitter resentment to get them to turn around and oppress others. That's how this system works and has worked seamlessly for decades in our successful pilot programs in China, Russia, Cuba, and North Korea. So no, unbossing is a real threat to everything we stand for, even if at first it seems like a good solid first step at undermining capitalism. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, we want to send a warm note of encouragement to our dearly beloved otheran in the not-too-great state of Washington, where a recent piece of legislation has done something genuinely wonderful. SB 5375, signed into law earlier this month, adds clergy to the list of those who must automatically report child sexual abuse, even if it was told to them in confidence during, for instance, Catholic confession. It further specifies that clergy have no exemption to this new mandatory reporting law for privileged communications, which will still shield lawyers, for instance, from having to do so. What a wonderfully anti-Catholic bill. By forcing Catholic priests to have to decide between reporting parishioners who confess these crimes to them or going to jail themselves for not doing so, this bill really inverts the order of values for Catholics, making the government more important than God, while also saying that lawyers have more privileges than priests. Double victory! Now, yes, the Department of Justice is investigating Washington over this, and there is a chance this bill could be reversed since it does seem to plainly violate the First Amendment protections for free exercise of religion. But bravo for the effort, Washington. Even failed attempts to suppress religion are okay because they make the traditional religionists feel insecure about their power in society. As Mandelbauer's second pronouncement on hostility to religion teaches us, thou shalt always be seeking to reduce, diminish, and demean every form of religion by placing any other value higher than God. And what better way to demean Catholicism than to send undercover officers into the confessional booth to lie about their crimes against children so we can throw disobedient priests in jail when they refuse to report those entrapping confessions? At long last, we have a way to incarcerate religious leaders simply for practicing their faith. Gaialuya, woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
by the way, just a note. You know, people sometimes think, like, do I make these things up? I mean, never. I never. By the way, this law in Washington that really did pass, it really is being investigated by the Trump Justice Department. Sorry, the guy we don't name. I mean, I can say his name now. So that's a real thing. Like, they're going to potentially throw priests in jail for violating their sacred duty to keep confessionals. Because, you know, the Catholic doctrine is the idea that, you know, confessing things to God is slightly more important than things that go on this earth. So, anyway, it's real stuff that goes on in the world. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
What was that? Galleluia?
Gaia-luia.
Gaia-luia.
Because our dear Mother Earth Gaia.
That's crazy, dude. All right, no accidents to report to you right now. Rolling accident-free, but we're still dealing with the issue at 9th Avenue and Bayou. That is between Roy Street and Carpenter's Creek Drive. They've made progress on it, but it is still closed today. So they're going to make even more progress today, but it's still closed. So my advice, take Davis or 12th. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, I got a picture up on our Facebook page. It shows that clearly they have been making progress, but not enough. Not enough. 626 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, I got a note in here that apparently American flag and POW MIA flag, 5x8, so not huge, but big enough, at Veterans Memorial Park were stolen yesterday.
Do what?
I mean, that's
pathetic.
Come on, man. So... very, very infuriating.
What are you going to do, take them to a pawn shop?
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says trade talks with China have now stalled. He said yesterday that he thinks there will be talks in the next few weeks between President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping. Trump imposed massive tariffs on China earlier this year, but they have been slashed to 30% now. The Department of Justice dismissing criminal charges against Boeing after the company agreed to pay over $1 billion to avoid prosecution. Over 340 people died after two Boeing 737 MAX passenger jets crashed. That was 6 years ago. Last week, the DOJ said they had struck a tentative deal with Boeing to avoid prosecution. And, Maryland Public Works employees say somebody apparently left an empty casket by the side of the road in Prince George's County there. The county's Department of Public Works posted a video yesterday showing the workers removing the casket from the road and warned county residents that apparently dumping caskets is illegal.
I mean, how many movies have you seen where the casket flies out the end of the hearse? It's like commonplace, so... I don't know. This seems all that weird. Then again, I think it's probably pretty rare. So, all right. I was wondering where I left it. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 627.
Wondering where I left it.
Hey, it's like somebody's checking their pockets. Like, hey, I thought I had that casket. Where did I do? Oh, by the roadside over there.
My bad.
Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, or you just want information, or you're wondering if, you know, now is the market hot? Is the market going to be hot later? Does it matter what time of year for schools or for change of station for the military bases? Or, you know, just what does she think is coming in the near future? Christina Leavenworth is a great source of input, of answering your questions, of just information. Of course, if you decide to actually hire her as a real estate agent, she can definitely get you all the way through to closing. She does it. She and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, you know, several hundred times a year, 165 last year, 175 the year before that. So they know. They know how to solve the problems. They know how to preempt problems. That's the best way to solve problems is to not encounter them, right? But of course, if you only sell 5 or 10 or even 20 homes a year, you have a certain level of experience. If you and your team sell 165, you have a different level of experience. And, you know, of course, she's delightful. You'll love to meet her. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. 437-1620. What else do we have going on? I mentioned it in the just briefly in the Transgressors. And again, you kind of sometimes wonder, like, are these stories for real? There really is. I can't make this up. There really is a trend out there of men shaving off their eyelashes.
Excuse me? Did you just say their eyelashes?
Not eyebrows.
Oh, eyelashes?
Eyelashes. Yeah, you know, the things what that keep the dirt and the stuff out of your eyes. So in videos posted to, where would you think?
TikTok.
That's it. In videos posted to TikTok, Instagram, and X in recent weeks, men braving blades very close to their eyes in barbershops from Turkey to New Zealand in a quest for stubby lashes instead of long lashes. Ew. While some barbers are seen wielding buzzing electric clippers, others are freestyling a pair of hair dressing scissors and hopefully a steady hand. The idea is that eyelashes are a gender indicator. And so
what
if you
Kool-Aid
have.
Have they been on?
And so, in order to look sexy masculine, you shave your eyelashes to look more, I don't know, because eyelashes that are long, thick, black are indicators of high femininity. And so,
if that's what makes you masculine or not?
If your masculinity depends on, you know, the non-appeal of your eyelashes, I mean, well, I will say this. Single men will try almost anything if they think it gives them an advantage.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Elon Musk joins President Trump for a news conference at the White House today to say goodbye as official cost-cutting advisor.
Today marks the 130-day limit of Elon Musk's time as a special government employee, but the White House says Musk's influence will live on. The president says on Truth Social this will be Musk's last day, but not really, because he will always be with us, helping all the way.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Bernie Kerik, New York City's police commissioner on 9/11, died. He was 69.
President George W. Bush went on to nominate Kerik to serve as Homeland Security Chief, but Kerik withdrew his nomination. He pleaded guilty to 8 felonies, including tax fraud and lying to the White House. Kerik spent nearly 3 years in prison and went on to get a pardon from President Trump.
Fox's John Lito, FBI Director Kash Patel says Kerik died after an unspecified private battle with illness. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's sunny and 68 degrees right now. Looks like a beautiful morning. We'll get a full check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Local officials and military leaders met yesterday in Santa Rosa County for the Northwest Florida Defense Coalition military base update. There were several speakers on hand, Congressman John Carter, Tony Gonzalez, and Jimmy Patronis, as well as city leaders like Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves.
We have the largest collection of active duty and veteran military members in any congressional district in the United States of America at a 435. So we know that it's an enormous part of what we do.
Representatives from NAS Pensacola, Whiting Field, Hurlburt Field, Eglin Air Force Base were all there. They discussed the challenges each installation faces and what they need from local and regional leaders to help their mission. One of the bigger takeaways was the need for partnerships between the installations and their local communities. Now, IHMC needs participants for a new health study. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. Maybe not. The Institute for Human and Machine Cognition looking for participants aged 60 and over for a new study aimed at enhancing the understanding of the health benefits of the exercise. IHMC looking for 250 participants that are willing to commit to a highly structured 23-week training program. Well, we are learning more about the arrest of this suspect accused of false imprisonment and domestic abuse in Navarre. This happened after a note was found in a Jersey Mike's restroom.
There was this little piece of crumpled up paper that was shoved next to our toilet paper dispenser, and it looked like a piece of trash.
That is Eleanor Coffey. She works at the Jersey Mike's and said after finding that, she went to her manager and immediately called 911. The note included an address and information on how to find the home. Deputies served a search warrant. That's where they found the victim, who described abuse, threats, and being held in isolation. She was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. The sheriff's office is urging anybody in that type of abusive situation to reach out for help. 34-year-old Jordan Williams was arrested on multiple charges. He's being held with no bond at the Santa Rosa County Jail. He'll be back in court next week. A federal judge is holding a hearing to decide whether Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer is in contempt for violating her ruling. Uthmeyer says that the law is on his side when it comes to illegal immigration enforcement.
I took an oath to defend the Constitution, and if she wants to hold me in contempt like she's threatening, that's a price I'm willing to pay to uphold my oath and enforce rule of law.
U.S. District Judge Kathleen Williams issued a temporary restraining order last month against a new state law that orders Florida sheriffs and state law enforcement agencies to help ICE capture illegal immigrants. Uthmeyer instructed law enforcement around the state to continue doing it. The judge is an Obama appointee. She says it's unconstitutional since immigration is enforced by the federal government. 9:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by ECUA. Bulkway Services now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still rolling accident-free right now. Good news on that. But some bad news. If you're traveling on 9th Avenue, headed toward Bayou or coming northbound toward Bayou, the 9th Avenue is still closed between Roy Streets and Carpenter's Creek. They are diverting you at Bayou to either go to Davis Highway or 12th Avenue. That's what they're going to tell you. But they are making progress on it. So hopefully 9th Avenue will be open soon. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thank you very much. John, now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
60% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon and evening, high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Saturday, plenty of sunshine with a high near 85. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68. For Sunday, small 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise mostly sunny skies, high near 86. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson for the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 68 degrees, sunshine on this beautiful Friday morning. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields held steady this morning as investors awaited inflation data and considered the latest news on President Trump's tariffs. The 30-year Treasury yield was up less than a basis point at 4.9305%. The 10-year Treasury yield was inched less than one basis point higher at 4.431%. The number of Americans filing new applications for jobless benefits increased more than expected last week. The Labor Department reports initial claims for unemployment benefits rose 14,000 to 240,000 total for the week ending May 24th. The jobless rate was at 4.2% in April. CBS News reports the State Department is planning a sweeping reorganization of its bureaus and U.S. staff, with around 3,400 jobs eliminated. Nearly half of its domestic offices will also be closed or consolidated in the coming months. Futures are slightly lower. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 117. The NASDAQ up 74. That's your money now.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
It's hurricane season, and Escambia County Emergency Management wants you to be 1 week ready. Join Escambia Emergency Manager Travis Tompkins and meteorologist Scotland Wilson on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Tuesday at 10:30 as they discuss hurricane preparedness and what it means to be 1 week ready. That's this Tuesday at 10:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yesterday, we're at Joe Patty's for the press conference that was held in preparation for hurricane season with Rick Scott and, you know, Alex Andrade and Michelle Salzman and D.C. Reeves and, I mean, every other local leader that you could name was there. And one thing that was kind of interesting was at the end in the kind of the gaggle where we were asking, you know, Rick Scott questions and if we wanted to ask and Alex and Michelle and Jim Patronis was there too, of course. There were two times where Rick Scott, I felt, went out of his way to bring something up. And we'll talk about the significance of it afterwards. But here was the first pass. This is when he was talking just about kind of, you know, hurricane stuff in general. And he commented that
The House is trying to watch your money. Alex trying to bring some transparency there with regard to Hope, Florida. I think it's the right thing to do.
And what he said, I know it's very hard to hear. There was a lot of crowd noise, and, you know, the recorder I was using was having weird issues. But he was praising Alex Andrade for bringing transparency to the Hope, Florida thing. Okay, now the reason, and that was pass one, okay? That was kind of at the beginning. And the reason that was interesting is because, you know, DeSantis and anybody from the administration was not here. Okay, now I know there's probably somebody here who knows full well what the, you know, the alignments are of the different camps, you know, the Gateses and the Scotts and the DeSantises and who does and who does not get along. I don't track these things all that well, but it seemed to me like maybe if Alex Andrade is holding a prominent place, in this press conference with Rick Scott, and Rick Scott's first thing to the press gaggle afterwards is to praise Alex Andrade's to bring transparency to the legislature and the Hope, Florida issue, maybe Senator Scott and Governor DeSantis aren't exactly besties. And I know Alex and, you know, Governor DeSantis are at odds right now. So that was the first pass. I didn't think an awful lot of it. But then we got down toward the end, and, you know, once again, he was just kind of, you know, talking about some things, and he was actually asked about the nomination of John Gar. I'll explain that in a minute. Okay, that's actually a very interesting story. You might wonder who exactly, but we'll get to that in a second. Actually, PNG had a good article after this press conference yesterday about that issue. But anyway, this was his reaction to the. I guess I should explain it before. John Gar was the deputy attorney general. Is the deputy attorney general, but he signed the settlement with Centene that sent the $10 million to Hope, Florida. Okay? So John Gar, Deputy Attorney General, so under Ashley Moody, now under James Othmeyer, but he signed the settlement. That's the settlement that has been the source of so many questions, right? About was it legal? Was it reported to the legislature? It was not. It then wound up being, and by the way, the issue was not originally whether it was used for marijuana, anti-marijuana campaigning. It was initially just the question of why is $10 million that belongs to the state through a Medicaid settlement, why is that being sent to anybody else without the legislature's oversight? And then it became worse when it turned out it was for a political action campaign eventually. Okay, but he's been nominated, okay? John Gard has been nominated to be a judge for the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of Florida by President Trump, okay? So Rick Scott, you know, in the Senate, where they have to confirm these things, is being asked about this, and he says...
So, I think Trump has done a good job with his nominations. So I'm always proud of his nominations.
Okay, Trump's done well in nominations. He's proud of him.
There is some questions now of his involvement in Hope, Florida. I think we need to get to the bottom of that.
There's some question about his involvement in Hope, Florida. We need to get to the bottom of that. That's two. That's twice he's mentioned Hope, Florida yesterday in the 5 or so minutes that we talked with him.
There needs to be more transparency. I know Alex has tried to create that transparency. I was disappointed everybody didn't come and testify.
Alex has tried to create transparency. I was disappointed that they didn't come to testify in front of his committee.
But in John Gard's case, he's going to have to explain his involvement in the Centene settlement.
So Rick Scott has been paying attention to this. Remember, his background is in healthcare, right, before he was governor? So Rick Scott has clearly been paying close attention to this. Ashley Moody was not there yesterday, although I don't normally expect a second senator to show up and be around. There's questions about her connection or not to all of this. I don't think anybody's really alleging it, but just, you know, she was the attorney general before she became the senator. So interesting, you know, something that you might have thought was maybe some people are rumoring this to be a dead issue, you know, Governor Scott and James Uthmeyer. Governor DeSantis and James Uthmeyer. I'm not so sure that it's really over when we've got federal legislators both in the House and the Senate continually bring this up. As I said, Rick Scott went out of his way to include Alex, praise Alex, mention him in connection with all of this. So the PNJ reports that Andrade says he has not spoken to Ashley Moody about the Hope, Florida issue. He says, I should probably reach out to her, but because she got appointed to the U.S. Senate by DeSantis, I've never involved her. It was John Gard that signed it, not her, so I have no idea what she knew. Which, I mean, that's fair that we don't know anything about whether she's involved. 6:45 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free, but we're experiencing some delays on 9th Avenue and Bayou because that is still closed due to the road washout between Roy Street and Carpenter's Creek. So my advice, take Davis or 12th Avenue in that area. They've made progress, but it is still closed. But other than that, we are looking good. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. You know, one of the things that I did yesterday is, remember how Patty, you know, Joe Patty's, Patty Marine, all got recognized at this at the federal level by Jimmy Patronus. And so I talked with Frank Patty Jr. about the recognition and about the dry dock that they've got funded.
All right, so we're here with Frank Patty Jr., and I just think it's very cool that you guys were named one of the top 25 small businesses in the U.S. You got to go to the Capitol, you got to be recognized, and what's that mean to your family and your business?
Oh, it's a wonderful thing because we get to be recognized for Pensacola, for our family, of course, and for the marine industry. We're the only marine industry that was there. So there are 25 businesses in the whole country, our shipyard represented, and we are right on the end of all the booths. We got great recognition and a great tour of the Capitol. So it's very fortunate for me and my daughter and my son and to be included in such a small business recognition.
You know, we recently had the first National Maritime Day celebration here in Pensacola. We had a representative from the Trump administration come talk about the importance of maritime shipbuilding, civilian shipbuilding. You guys are obviously been a part of that for years. Yes. But what's your perspective as a shipbuilder on the health of the American shipbuilding industry and then the future? Are we starting to turn the corner on recognizing the importance of America's withdrawal from this important industry?
Well, yeah, of course. Shipbuilding industry is critical. And, you know, we're the only shipyard in Pensacola. 47 years in, we built a lot of vessels, you know, starting just to build our own fleet. And then we ended up building everybody else's fleet. And then the first licensed gamble boat in the country and the largest one in the country. Then all the vessels for the Corps of Engineers and all the awards we got for, you know, significant vessels and for safety. So now we're building a dry dock with the help of MIRAD grant, you know, from the federal government. And so we're just a couple months or so, we're going to be dedicating it. So should have a good press release on that, and so that we can, you know, celebrate a new revenue stream and services here for the marine industry right here in Pensacola.
Frank, thanks for the time.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. And it's really cool, the thing that they got the dry dock coming. Like you said, they're going to have the press release for that. That's a huge project. So, you know, little good things. And like I said, the recognition I thought was neat. I was kind of disappointed they didn't do a speech or a video or anything. It was really just kind of a give them the paper, but they took them to Washington, D.C. and showed them around and had a good time. 6:49 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aid.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's AudienHearing.com.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone.
In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
A brief history of everything that has ever happened since Pawnee was founded. And for the first time ever compiled, it includes a complete list of every official town slogan we've ever had.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who.
Yeah, I will tell you that I was not a particularly strong fan of Parks and Rec until we moved here, and having covered local government now.
So it all makes sense now.
Oh my God. It's so accurate. It's the best. And that, you know, including a record of every slogan that we've ever had. Oh, That's a brutally accurate 651 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
All right.
You looked like you were checking to see if there was a bird above your head.
Well, so a few seconds ago, Andrew, a spider dropped down from the ceiling directly in front of my face, like right above the microphone.
Yikes.
Here.
Itsy bitsy spider.
Spider.
I'm a shook.
All right. Wow. Way to sound old saying a young thing. Well done.
Yeah, that's what I specialize in. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says trade talks with China have now stalled. Bessent said yesterday he thinks there will be talks in the next few weeks between President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping. The Department of Justice dismissing charges against Boeing. This is after the company agreed to pay $1 billion to avoid prosecution. And that's in relation to the 340 people that died after the two Boeing 737 MAX passenger jets crashed 6 years ago. Florida Democrat Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz apparently made a visit to an immigration holding facility. She says she saw at the Chrome Detention Center in Miami, or she says the things she saw at that detention center were disturbing. Over 1,100 migrants in deportation proceedings crammed into small spaces.
They are there for, you know, 24 to 48 hours and are having to sleep, eat, and defecate and urinate in the same room.
That facility apparently designed to hold about 900 people.
Well, nothing captivates my interest like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the name I had forgotten I knew. So, okay, David, thanks. Was that it? Was that your third one?
That's all I got.
Go
right
back
now.
To killing spiders, okay?
Yep.
6:53 on News Radio 92.3. Follow up. Remember the $25 million that the county approved to purchase AstroTurf or whatever, or, you know, artificial turf for the John R. Jones facility on 9 Mile? A decision that I was completely mystified by, and still am. But I will asterisk my opposition this way. I still think it's a crazy use of money. It doesn't make any sense. It didn't have enough, you know, vetting. There's all kinds of other ways they could have done this, including just fixing the fields and making the drainage work better and so forth. I am not on board with this decision. I think that it was a mistake. But the one question I had was just about the money, because when I had run the numbers, it looked to me like it was going to be a money loser, even best case scenario. Even if you have 50 tournaments a year and 80 teams, whether it's lacrosse or baseball, which is kind of the goal, it seemed to me like it was still going to lose money. I wanted to know if my numbers were right. So I actually asked the Haas Center at UWF to do – they have different levels of analysis. And, of course, you know, private individuals or governments can pay for a thorough evaluation, but they'll do a, like, just kind of an overview kind of for free when people ask for it. So I asked and had to get with the county and get their budget department to kind of submit numbers and stuff. And, you know, Stephen Hall is very – he's always very helpful. So anyway, I had Nicole Gieselson at the Haas Center. She was the one who – and she's fantastic, by the way. Had him run the numbers, and here's what they came up with. A single baseball tournament with 80 teams – is going to do economic output of $855,000. Okay? And this is including direct, indirect, and induced costs. It has a personal income gain is $279,000. Value add is $504,000. The number I was the most concerned about was how much tax revenue do we make? Because we're selling this as kind of a money-making endeavor. And, you know, we're spending $25 million. At least they will if they don't change their mind. And I was curious how much they would make back, best case scenario. Is it really this cash cow that they seem to be portraying it as? Well, $35,000 for a tournament. Okay. Well, $35,000 for a tournament, if you take that over even best case scenario, 50 tournaments a year is $1.75 million. So under $2 million a year, which would be not nothing. I mean, that's significant. But I had ballparked it. Sorry. I ballparked it at $1.5 million. Well, the cost of the facility, right? If we finance it, 10 years is a $3.5 million a year payment. 15 years, a $2.5 million a year payment. 20 years, a $2.1 million payment. Which means that best case scenario, we are still losing about, what, $500,000 or $1.5 million, $2 million a year. Now, that's not the whole story because, again, you get jobs created and you get economic activity. And, you know, it's not only about the tax revenue thing, but to me, I'm looking at this as a business. If we're wanting to, you know, start a business with county money, with the athletic fields, is this a good business to start? Do we need to pay that much for it? And so forth. Similar analysis for lacrosse is $42,000 a year. So it does make a little bit more, but still not enough to break even. And then there's one more piece to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are looking good, except let's roll down to 9th Avenue again and Bayou is still closed. They are directing you to either Davis or 12th Avenue. That's the area between Roy Street and Carpenter's Creek. They have it completely closed off. They've made progress, but there's still a lot more work to do. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. One last piece of the analysis that I had the Haas Center do, just the overview analysis, right? Because it's a couple thousand dollars to pay for a regular, like a full review. I think the county should probably do that. I don't know if they will. I really think they should before they really spend $25 million on this project. But I asked for the overview level, and, you know, Nicole Gieselson at the Haas Center provided that for me. The last piece is the construction itself, you know, the $25 million spend. That, of course, is going to generate money. I mean, you're spending money. It's going to generate money. Personal income gain there, and it's going to be about 200 jobs. Direct, about 150 for the construction. Indirect and induced, a couple of 50 or so more. Anyway, temporary, of course, but, you know, at least for the time it's being constructed. Personal income gain there was $12 million. The value added was about $20 million. The economic output was about $35 million. The local tax revenue, again, if you're just looking at as a county investment, was about $368,000. So not that much tax revenue coming back, you know, for supplies and various ways people spend money and that gets taxed on it. So my read of the numbers is still that it doesn't make sense financially, but it looks better than I thought it looked. And Nicole said the same thing. She said, I was actually surprised the numbers came out as good as they did. Now, again, that's best case scenario. That's 50 tournaments a year at 80 teams per tournament. Obviously, it could be quite a bit less than that, depending on how it actually plays out in reality. John, you and I have talked about this many times.
Yes.
You've heard the numbers. You're an accountant, so you know how numbers work. Does this alleviate your concerns a little, not at all, a lot? Mm.
Not at all.
Okay.
Because I know the reality is you're not going to get 50 tournaments with 80 teams in them.
Right.
That is reality.
That's the, like, best case utopia answer.
Exactly.
Fantasy world. Right.
Yeah.
And maybe that happens 1 year. Maybe that happens in 5 years. But it's unlikely to happen every single weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah. So my takeaway on this is I still think it's a bad decision. I still think that they ought to at least look at it more closely. I would like to see, for all of the times we use the Haas Center to do research and, you know, put a... Because basically, this was sold to the county commission on a sales presentation. And then they just kind of took those numbers for granted. And I don't think we should take those numbers for granted. I think we should do more research. And, you know, if we're going to spend that kind of money, we really ought to be looking into it a little bit. So I hope the county, before it goes ahead...
Cough.
I hope the county will actually go ahead and do the more thorough investigation. And look, maybe I would be glad to be proved wrong.
And me too.
I mean, it would make me feel good to believe that we're not going to be throwing $25 million into a hole. I just don't believe that yet. And so persuade me. The way you can persuade me is, you know, have the actual research to be done. Because the preliminary research, I don't think, justifies the decision.